Doug Lear. I had to rope him at the door. He's trying to run away from
me. Still listening.
No. No.
My mom, your wife, maybe?
Oh, no, my wife. No. You guys are chuckling right now going, oh, good. Feely's right. That's exactly right. I'm going to put my shirt back on.
Put my shirt back on.
I do look like a fool. He's right.
Wait, Dr. Phil got nothing on you. You'll be guest hosting the Dr. Phil show next week.
Put your shirt back on. That's my goal. Anyway, Doug.
Yes,
last
Mike.
Week was sort of an ugly week in terms of invasive species. We learned that another lake in Becker County, Minnesota, Pickerel Lake,
right,
has zebra mussels in it. And the disturbing part about that was that it was a landlocked lake with no natural inlet or outlet. And I would think that those lakes would have been the last to get zebra mussels, but apparently not. And then a report from your department, the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, saying that Asian carp, and I'm not sure we can use that phrase anymore.
Invasive carp.
I'm sorry, invasive carp. Mm-hmm. No, they're Asian carp because they started in Asia.
Ooh. Wow.
Anyway, they're in the
Without
James
their
River.
On.
They're in the James River, and that's a bad deal.
I feel even more connected to the story because the first Asian carp sighting was actually in my old hometown of Lemoore, down by the James River Dam, just on the west side of town. And actually, at the time, you realize the seriousness of it when you're in Lemoore and somebody says, "Oh, are we going to put up a monument? First ever Asian carp sighting in North Dakota was at the James River," and it's probably not quite as positive of an experience as home of Milton Young, you know, was a former United States Senator from Lemoore. But it does shine the light on the concern, whether it's zebra mussels in Minnesota, whether it's invasive carp in North Dakota, I don't even know if it really totally connects, but you know, earlier this week I heard the discussion on emerald ash borers.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff from leafy spurge 30 years ago to zebra mussels now, and who knows what's next.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next. And I think really from a fisheries management and from a biologist point of view, what you try to do is continue to create the awareness, and similar to getting people 30 years ago to wearing their seatbelts, getting people to realize that these methods of reducing the potential spread of aquatic nuisance species have to become second nature. It's got to be drain everything, clean mm-hmm. everything, and that's what about the best message that we can pass along to people is it's not always the other guy. It's not always the other guy.
It's not always the idiot from the Twin Cities who it's
right.
It's not always the Minnesota guy who's yep. doing this in North Dakota. It's not. It might be you. It might be me. It might be my neighbor.
Similar to the shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
You might not be talking about the other guy. You might look in the mirror and go, "Yeah, I'm the guy that used
to
put my shirt on."
Wait a second. But for me, as somebody who loves to fish and loves to spend time on bodies of water, whether it's in Minnesota or North Dakota or South Dakota, the big, you know, you can do all the prevention you want, and that's fine, and
right.
I do what I can do. I sadly almost see it as inevitable that these things and this stuff is going to be in most bodies of water before
yeah.
the end of my lifetime. And so for me,
yeah.
the next question is, how is it going to affect fishing? How is it going to affect the biology in a lake? Because there's two ways to look at it. Is you know, for years, carp have been in lakes, and
right.
it was, you know, they're terrible, they're awful, they destroy lakes. Well, they haven't really.
Yeah.
I mean, they've caused some issues, yep. no doubt about it, especially in shallower bodies of water and ducks lose and things like that. But hey, let's be honest, the fishing in North Dakota right now is better than it's ever been
right.
for your average Jamoke.
Yep.
And the fishing's not bad in Minnesota. Will it be that same way in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Is this all going to be a big, oh my God, the DNR
yeah.
and Game and Fish are going crazy. And in 20 years, am I going to go, you know, really not that much different for me.
And you bring up a really good point, because when we talk from the mindset of a biologist, there's a lot of time you're talking about worst case scenario, whether it's chronic wasting disease, whether it's leafy spurge, whether it's zebra mussels or Eurasian water milfoil. And we don't know what it's going to look like 10 years from now, 20 years. We know how bad it could be,
mm-hmm.
but similar to when zebra mussels were first found in the Villager Forum in the Red River, I think that was 3 or 4 years ago, it wasn't like, boom, the Red River is, in fact, we haven't been able to document an expanse of zebra mussels in the Red River. So I think in a good sense, we do get people to stand up and take notice because of the worst case scenario. But similar to the loss of habitat and CRP and some of the other examples that we've given with chronic wasting disease has been documented in North Dakota and in Minnesota. And it's not like every deer just all of a sudden tipped over.
And for a while there, in all honesty, when that first came out, that was some of the, you know, oh my God, there's chronic wasting disease.
Right.
We're going to lose all our deer. It's going to spread like wildfire.
Right.
Ugh, you know, there's going to be a bunch of zombie-like deer wandering the streets of Lemoore, you know, ready to kill people. And it just hasn't turned out that way. It's don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
No, and I'm not on the same page.
It's not good.
Right.
Okay. I would rather not have zebra mussels or Asian carp in bodies of water.
Right.
I think they're bad. I think that the outcome eventually is going to be bad. It's not going to be good. And I think we're seeing some evidence of that already. In area lakes where zebra mussels have been for 4 or 5 or 6 years, I think we're starting to see, you know, God, I can see down 25 feet in the water now.
Yep.
The water is so clear that I can see bottom in 25 feet of water. That's not a good
thing. No.
It sounds like it's a good thing, but it's not a good thing. But does that mean the end of fishing forever in Pelican Lake or Lake Lizzie or my home lake, Lake Carlos?
Unfortunately, we're going to find out.
We'll find out.
Right. That's the real here and now is we will, you and I, you know, God willing, are going to be around to find out just exactly how bad, whether we're right or wrong, we're going to be around to find out. And that's undeniable.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. That was fun there.
I mean, it's a good discussion because I think we do need to make sure that people are heeding those steps instead of saying, well, gosh, you know, fishing ain't that bad. You know, we got carp around here and why do I need to be? We impress upon our own fisheries biologists because they're moving boats to 4 different lakes in a day about the potential spread of unknown. Who knows what's next, Mike?
Yeah. And I don't mean, like I said, let me reiterate, I'm not trying to poo-poo invasive species. And I think we have to take a broader, bigger picture. We need to do whatever we can to stop the spread of these things. But at the same time, the truth is that we'll see all what happens.
Yeah.
And I personally, from my layman standpoint, I don't think it's going to be good. But
no,
but
it's not gonna help. We can pretty much agree on that, Mike.
Doug, have a great weekend.
You too. Take care, man.
You're a guy who can take your shirt off. You work out. You're lifting weights. You're doing all that, so you can take your shirt off.
That's what you think.
Oh boy, Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish, and Tom Wynn and friends. This is Mike McFeely Outdoors on the Mighty 790 KFGO. He can't even bait a hook.